has joined.
Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
Are you the only one?
No, there's another person on.
Okay.
It's Hannah. I'm on. I just have to mute because they're moving furniture off my patio to my son's new home. So too much noise. So I'm going to mute.
All right. L'shem Yichud, Kud Shabrechu, Ishki David, Hilo Urchimo, Hilo Utkilo Urchimo. Le'achta, L'shem Yud He Bavate, Be'yichuda, Shalim B'shem Kol Yisrael, Limun Torah Mitzvah, La'asot Torah Mitzvah, Va'yihino Amadunai Elohino, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Koronei, Aleinu Ma'asei Yadenu Koroneihu. You'll find the handout on the Revealed Wisdom Matrix in row 6, the third column from the left. That opens up to a landing page of all a list of all of the parashas. And at the bottom of that, you'll see a list of the chapters of Sefer Yehoshua, which is our class tonight. Chapter 17 is the next chapter of study. When you click on that, you will need to scroll down to chapter 17. When you click on that, it'll open up to the area of chapter 17. But you'll need to click on the link to the Machon Mamre. And when that page opens up, you'll need to scroll down to chapter 17. We will start with the chapter 17, the portion of Ephraim in the commentary that we have for the book of Joshua, chapter by chapter. And we're just going to briefly discuss the fact that there are 18 verses in chapter 17. And the number 18, as we all know, connects to the Hebrew word chai, meaning life. And we're going to need to understand how this relates to the material in this chapter of 17, because it's chapter 17 is starting with the portion of Ephraim, the area of land within the land of Israel that was directed to the tribe of Ephraim. We also know that Ephraim, the Torah sometimes refers to Ephraim as the northern country, where there were the 10 tribes. Now we will transfer to the Machon Mamre page for the book of Joshua, Sefer Yehoshua. And we'll scroll down to chapter 17 and start with verse 1. Vayhi hagoral lemate menashe ki hu bekor yosef lemakir bekor menashe avi hagilad ki hu haya Ish milchama vayhi lo hagilad v'habashan. And this was the lot for the tribe of Manasseh, for he was the firstborn of Joseph. As for Machir, the firstborn of Manasseh, the father of Gilead, because he was a man of war, therefore he had Gilead and Bashan. We need to be somewhat familiar with the discussion of Gilead, which is in the book of Judges, I believe. And I'm sure our commentary will explain it as well. And the real question is, why does it say, talking about the tribe of Ephraim, that it starts out with Manasseh? But it explains that Manasseh is the firstborn. Verse 2. Vayhi livnei Menashe hanotarim v'mishpechotam livnei Aviezer livnei chelek v'livnei Asriel v'livnei Shechem v'livnei Chefar Believe Shemida Ele Bene Menashe Ben Yosef Azkarim Lemishpechotam. And the lot for the rest of the children of Menashe, according to their families, for the children of Abiezer and for the children of Helek, and for the children of Azrael, and for the children of Shechem, and for the children of Hefer, and for the children of Shemidah. These were the male children of Manasseh, the son of Joseph, according to their families. And we know that each of these names are meant to teach us something. The third verse. Willi Slavkad Ben Hefer Ben Gilad Ben Makir Ben Menashe Lo Hayu Lo Banim Kim Banot Ve'ele Shemot Ve'notav Machla Ve'noah Adla And but Selophad, the son of Hefer, the son of Gilead, the son of Machir, the son of Manasseh, had no sons but daughters. And these are the names of his daughters, Mala and Noah, Hogla, Milcah, and Tirza. Verse 4. Vatikravna livne Elazar hakohen v'livne Yehoshua bin Nun v'livne Hanshim Lemor Adonai Yohewahe Adanu Yo Yoahe Dawanu Heyo Siwa et Moshe Latet lanu nachala betoch acheinu Vayiten lachem el pi Adonai Yohe wahe adanu yo yo ahe da wanu heyo Nachala betoch ache avichen. And they came near before Eleazar the priest, and before Joshua the son of Nun, and before the princes, saying, The Lord commanded Moses to give us an inheritance among our brethren. Therefore, according to the commandment of the Lord, he gave them an inheritance among the brethren of their father. And it's referring back into the book of Numbers, I believe, where it discusses the daughters of Selophad coming forth and asking if they could inherit, even if their father had no sons. And the answer was yes, but they needed to stay married within the tribe, within a specific tribe. 5. Vayi bluch avle menashe asara levad me'eretz hagilad v'habashan asher me'eder la'yarden. And there fell 10 parts to Manasseh beside the land of Gilead and Bashan, which is beyond the Jordan. I imagine if we count, we'll find that the children, the family groupings, were numbered in 10. Verse 6. Ki benot Manashe nachalu lachala v'toch bana ve'eret ha'gilad haita. Because the daughters of Manasseh had an inheritance among his sons, and the land of Gilead belonged unto the rest of the sons of Manasseh. Verse 7. Vayigivu Manasseh me'asher hamik metat Asher al pnei shechem, v'halach ha'gevul el hayamin, el yoshvei ein tafuah. And the border of Manasseh was beginning from Asher, Nikmetat, which is before Shechem, and the border went along to the right hand unto the inhabitants of En Patuah. Well, the English really doesn't explain what, but the last two words in Hebrew, Ain, I think that means nothing, but I'm not sure if the Ain I'm thinking of starts with an Aleph rather than an Ayin. But Tapuach is the word for apple. So this area is being described as there are no apples. Verse 8. Limnashe haita eretz tapuach, tapuach el gedvul haben asher livnei Ephraim. The land of Tapuah belonged to Manasseh, but Tapuah on the border of Manasseh belonged to the children of Ephraim. I think this verse is clear. Verse 9. V'yarad ha'gevul nachal kana ne'ekbah. Arim Haile, the Ephraim, the Toch Are, the Nashe, Ubul, the Nashe, Mitspon, La Nahal, Vaihi Hot Sotal, Ayama. And the border went down unto the brook of Cana, southward of the brook, by cities which belonged to Ephraim among the cities of Manasseh. But the border of Manasseh was on the north side of the brook, and the goings out thereof were at the sea. This is all geography, but it's also practicality based on the geography. Verse 10. Negba le'Ephraim v'tzapona limnashe v'yehi hayam gevulo v'asher yifgeun mitzafon v'yistav v'yisaskar sea was his border, and they reached to Asher on the north, and to Issachar on the east. Describing the location of the land and the various borders belonging to the tribe of Manasseh, and hinting to some aspects of Ephraim. Verse 11. Vayhi limnashe v'yisaskar uvasher beit she'an. Uvnoteha uviyiv la'am uvnoteha v'yet yoshvei dor uvnoteha v'yoshvei ein dor uvnoteha v'yoshvei ta'ana uvnoteha v'yishvei megido uvnoteha shaloshet ha'nafet. And Manasseh had an Issachar and an Asher, Beth Shean and its towns, and Ibleam and its towns, and the inhabitants of Dor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Endor and its towns, and the inhabitants of Ta'anach and its towns, and the inhabitants of Megiddo and its towns, even the three regions. Verse 12. Below Yachlu Bene Menashe Lehori Shet Arim Haele Vayoel Hakanani Meshevet Baret Hazot. Yet the children of Menashe could not drive out the inhabitants of those cities. The Canaanites were resolved to dwell in that land. Verse 13. Vayhi ki chazku bnei Yisrael, vayitnu ed hakanani, lamas lehoresh lo horisho. And it came to pass when the children of Israel were waxen strong, that they put the Canaanites to task work, but did not utterly drive them out. Vaydabiru b'nei Yosef et Yehoshua. Lay more madua natata linachala doral echad bechebel echad laani amrav ad asher ad ko berkayani adonai yohewahe adanu yo yohewahe tawanu heyo. And the children of Yosef spoke unto Joshua, saying, Why hast thou given me but one lot and one part for an inheritance, seeing I am a great people, for as much as the Lord has blessed me thus? Verse 15.
Has joined. Has joined.
Har Ephraim. And Joshua said unto them, If thou be a great people, get thee up to the forest and cut down for thyself there in the land of the Perizzites and the Rephaim, since the hill country of Ephraim is too narrow for thee. Verse Yom Rubeneo Sef Lo Yimate Lanu Bahar Berekev Bartzel Bekol Hakanani Ayoshe Beret Ha Emek La Sher Bebet Shean Uvno Techa Vela Sher Beemek Israel. And the country and the children of Yosef said, the hill country will not be enough for us. And all the Canaanites that dwell in the land of the valley have chariots of iron. Both they who are in Beth Shean and its towns, and they who are in the valley of Jezreel. Verse 17. Vayomer Yehoshua el Beit Yosef, Le'Ephraim v'lim nashe, le'mor amravata, Pekoach gadola lo yiyye lecha, Goral echad. And Joshua spoke unto the house of Joseph, even to Ephraim and to Manasseh, saying, thou art a great people, and hast great power. Thou shalt not have one lot only. Verse 18. Ki har yihiela, ki yar hu yuvereto, v'haya lecha tototav, ki torish uvereto, v'haya lecha tototav, ki torish et hakanaani. Ki rechev bartzelo, ki chazak hu. But the hill country shall be thine, for though it is a forest, thou shalt cut it down, and the goings out thereof shall be thine, for thou shalt drive out the Canaanites, though they have chariots of iron, and though they be strong. And that is the end of chapter 17. So we will return to the commentary on chapter 17. Following the delineation of Ephraim's inheritance in the previous chapter, our text continues with the account of the division of the land of Israel among the other tribes, giving the boundaries of Manasseh, Joseph's firstborn, in chapter 17, while part of the tribe of Manasseh had already taken their inheritance in the territories captured in the time of Moses east of the Jordan. The majority of this populous tribe took their share in the land of Israel proper, to the north of the portion of Ephraim. Daughters of Zelophehad. When God commanded Moses to divide the land among the tribes, the daughters of Zelophehad from the tribe of Manasseh immediately stepped forward to press their claim for their share, since their father had no sons. Under Torah law, daughters inherit their father's estate only when there are no surviving sons. If there is a son or sons, the males inherit the entire estate, and from it they have to pay to support and marry off their sisters. And I am adding, this is not a valid justification, since the daughters could provide their own dowries from their share of the properties. Now that Joshua was actually dividing the land, The irrepressible daughters of Tzelophehad again stand up before Eleazar, the high priest, and Joshua, the king, to demand their share. Not only are the daughters of Tzelophehad archetypes of the Israelite women that show even greater love and yearning for the land than the Israelite men, they were also very wise, and their insistence on their rights to the land brought about the revelation of several portions relating to the Torah laws of inheritance. An interesting, if somewhat subtle, point relating to these laws comes out of our text today. In chapter 17, verse 5, 10 shares fell to Manasseh besides the territories of the land of Gilead and Bashan east of the Jordan. Rashi and others explain that that out of these 10, the daughters of Tzelophehad took 4. Tzelophehad's own share is one of those who went out of Egypt, because the land was divided among those who left Egypt. 2, the share that Tzelophehad took with his brothers in the possessions of his father's heifer, who was also one of those who went out of Egypt. And 3, the Tzelophehad's double share in his father's estate as a firstborn. The share belonging to Tzelophehad's brother, who had died in the wilderness without children. So we see where they got 4 portions out of the 10. Rashi concludes, the verse did not need to tell us about the shares of the daughters except to teach us that they took the share of the firstborn, and also to inform us that their share in the land of Israel was already under their own ownership, the Mukseket, from the time of their fathers. Or if not, there is a legal principle that the firstborn does not take a share in property that is not yet part of the estate, and merely due, the Hebrew is ro'ui, to come later. The firstborn takes his double shares only from property that has already come into the estate. Muktzat. For example, the first fullborn would not take a share of a debt owing the estate that was uncollected at the time of the death of the deceased, but only of lands and goods that were already part of the estate. To those unfamiliar with the intricacies of Torah law, the above may be somewhat confusing, but what it means is that even before the land of Israel was actually conquered and occupied by the generation of Joshua, it was already in the possession, muksak, under the chazakah, ownership, of the children of Israel as an ancestral inheritance from those to whom its ownership had been given by Hashem, the generation that the children of Israel do not as yet control by any means all of the promised land. It is all still their property and belongs to them as an ancestral inheritance. The commentator, the Rabbi Abraham from Ozamra.org, the translator, the commentator, he is basically saying all of the land in the Jordan, all the land in Iraq, all of that land is part of the inheritance that belongs to the children of Israel. Even though it's never been under the control of the Jewish people. And that is what he is trying to imply in modern days. And this is part of the overall dispute between the Palestinian people, between Gaza and Lebanon and Syria and Jordan, and part parts even of Saudi Arabia, and of course Iran, not Iran, Iraq. So all of this discussion has been going on intellectually for generations, but it will come down with the Mashiach to solve the complexity. What do you do with the people who are now presently living on that land? And the children of Joseph spoke to Joshua, verse 14. They were asking for more land because of their numbers. The commentators tell us that these were the children of Manasseh, who were particularly populous. As we learn from the substantial increase in their numbers, by 20,500 between the first count of the children of Israel in the wilderness and the second count. This was in fulfillment of God's promise to Abraham. Thus, Ko shall be your seed. Ko is made up of Kaf, which is 20, and He, which is 5, alluding to the 20,000 and the 500. And this is according to the Midrash. Ephraim was less populous. One reason is that, according to the Midrash, many of the B'nai Ephraim were killed prior to the Exodus from Egypt when they tried to calculate the time of the redemption that they erred. They went up to Israel before the proper time, and when they came to Gath to take possession of the land, the Philistine inhabitants, who had been born there and were therefore familiar with it, overwhelmed and killed them. It was their bones that Ezekiel saw in his vision of the Valley of the Dry Bones. The source for this fascinating and very suggestive midrash are Chronicles 1 and 7, verse 21. The sons of Gath, who were born in the land, killed them, the sons of Ephraim, for they went down to take their possession, and Ephraim, their father, mourned them many days. And his brothers came to comfort him. And that is the end of our reading, the end of our class. Does anyone have any questions? Reminding you, we have a Deep Zohar class at 4:30. And it's Kuna Zohar class at 7. Both times are West Coast times. Shalom Gadol to all. Have a beautiful afternoon.
Shalom.
Thank you, Hanuk.
Shalom.
Shalom.